Father, we recognize, Lord, that you are holy, that you sit on your throne, Father God, and we just pray that your spirit may continue to move. Father God, we pray that your presence continue to manifest this morning. I pray, Father, that you prepare the hearts of every person that is here to receive your word. I believe, Father God, that you have a word for us, and Father, I pray that we are reminded, Lord, and encouraged about your goodness and your greatness. Father, we bind and rebuke any distraction that the enemy might want to bring. We bind and rebuke the enemy that might want to come and rob the seed that will be planted. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just ask you to take control, Lord. I pray that you use me, Father God, to deliver the word that you have given me. And Father, we pray that you may be glorified in all that is said. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Amen. I want to ask you to remain standing. And if you could open your Bible to Psalm 34. We continue with a summer in the Psalms. As you know, Pastor David has dedicated this season for us to be diving into the Word and diving into the book of Psalms. This morning I will be preaching from Psalm 34. My title is The Lord, My Deliverer. I said, The Lord, My Deliverer. Psalm 34. If you have it, let me hear you say a loud amen. Amen. The Bible says, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around, all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Father, we thank you for your word. You may be seated this morning. I know that many of you here today have known God to be your deliverer. By raising your hand, how many of you have known God to be your deliverer? You've been delivered from something. You've been delivered from your past. You've been delivered from the life you used to live. And some of you that are here this morning are yet to know God as your deliverer. I ask you this question: are you in great trouble? From what do you need God to deliver you? I want to just share a couple of things that are very interesting when looking at the word deliver. When the Bible says that the Lord will deliver you from all of your problems, the literal translation comes from the Greek word netsal. So I want to put this word up on the screen so you can see this word, netsal. There's a very broad definition for this word, which means to snatch away or to be snatched away, to escape, to preserve, to rescue, to take out, to be pulled away, to be set free. So when we look at the word deliver in Psalms, think of the words that I just finished saying. To be delivered means for God to snatch you out of a problem. To be delivered by God means to be pulled away from a situation, or pulled away from bad influence, or be pulled away from things that do not benefit you. It also means to preserve. Some of you might need to be delivered from God in a situation right now, and what God might do for you is just preserve you. It's not allow any harm to come towards you. And then ultimately, the word deliver means to be set free. Somebody say, set free. So when you seek God, He takes you out of whatever situation you are facing. You know, I don't know what situation you are facing. I don't know what battles you are facing. But let me just say this. We're all facing a battle. And as one pastor said it, we're all broken people trying to serve a living God. I know every one of you that are here might be in a difficult situation that for you seems impossible. But the Bible reminds us that nothing is impossible for God. So when we ask God to deliver us, He will preserve you. He will rescue you. Or sometimes He will just take you out of a situation. Some of you might be here this morning, might say, well, I need God to deliver me out of the situation that I'm in. And I'm going to give you some practical steps this morning based on Psalms 34. I want to encourage you this morning with this psalm because it has blessed my life. I know that this psalm has blessed the life of many people. And this morning we're going to dig deep. Everybody say, dig deep. Now, I want to just make it clear that when the psalmist, when King David used the word, the Greek word, netsal, throughout the psalms, it was used in various ways. First of all, the word deliver was used in a form of speaking about salvation or speaking about deliverance. And to be a little bit more specific, to be delivered from one's transgressions. So we're going to look throughout Psalms. If you follow me, Psalms 39 verse 8. It says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. So here is an example of speaking of deliverance or salvation. Whenever the psalmist used the word netsal to deliver, it also meant to be delivered from the grave, to be delivered from hell, to be delivered from sin. Psalms 86 verse 13. For great is your mercy toward me, And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Well, if you know that word means hell. Some of the Bible translators were probably a little scared to add the word hell. They didn't want to offend anybody. But if you go into study, the word Sheol is talking about the grave. It's talking about hell. Then we look at Psalms 79, verse 9. It says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake." And the term deliver was also used in the sense to ask God for the power to resist sin. Let's look at Psalms 120, verse 2. The Bible says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." I'm talking today about the Lord, my deliverer. I know that every one of us here today, we're facing battles, we're facing problems, afflictions. Some of us here are facing storms, we're facing moments of desperation. And what you do during those moments is very crucial. What you do during those moments of pressure, of attacks of the enemy is very crucial. You can either worry or worship. You can trust your own strength or trust God's strength. You can run far from God or run close to God. You can remain silent about your trouble or cry out to God. You can take matters into your own hands or place them in the hands of God. You can complain about your situation or give God thanks despite your situation. You can remain enslaved by sin or you can be set free by God. What we do during those moments is very crucial. And it's sad that some of us have gone through very difficult times and sometimes we don't know what to do. Even though we know the truth, even though we know the word, even though we know who our God is, but it's different when that storm hits. And sometimes there's storms that hit without letting you be prepared. It's different if you get a warning, if you get a notice, but there's some storms, there's some attacks, there's some problems that come your way that you never expected. It's part of life. And what we do during those moments is crucial. Sometimes you have no one there to help you. Do I have a witness this morning? Sometimes you're all alone. Sometimes you feel abandoned. Sometimes you feel forgotten. You feel desperate because nothing seems to be getting better until you turn your focus on God instead of what you're going through. See, all those are real feelings that we have. Some of us, we feel alone. Some of you feel alone right now. You feel abandoned. Some of you have probably even prayed to God and said, "God, where are you at?" But until we turn our focus on God rather than our situation, things begin to change. Everybody say, things begin to change. Things begin to happen. Now, what's amazing is that we know that David wrote Psalm 34. It's a beautiful psalm. In this psalm, there's so much richness. There's so much to be able to preach about. In this psalm are some of my favorite scriptures that I'll be able to share just a little later. But what I want you to understand is that David wrote this psalm after a near-death experience. He wrote this psalm during a very desperate moment in his life. Who was he running from? He was running from two kings. He was running from King Saul and the army of Israel. There's another king that he was running from, Achish, which was the king of Gath. If Gath sounds familiar, it's because Goliath
was from Gath. So David was afraid. He is terrorized. And not only terrorized, but paralyzed. And it's amazing how fear paralyzes, but faith mobilizes. There's moments of fear. Some of you might be so afraid that even your shadow scares you. And David was afraid. He was running from Saul and from the army of Israel. And it's amazing that Saul is pursuing David because of extreme jealousy. Have you ever had some people that are jealous about you? I'm not here to preach about that, but I know some of you, you know, you just know those people that they're just jealous because God's blessed you. They're jealous because of where God has you. And it's because of God, not because of us. The Bible says, James 1:17, that all good things come from above. But Saul was jealous of David. I want to read 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. If you're taking down notes, I encourage you to write down these next scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 through 15. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior. This is something very strange that we see. So he changed, talking about David, his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. So David had a beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see the man is insane. Have you brought him to me?' And then verse 15 says, 'Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?' And then we read in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him." So David is running from Saul, comes across the king of the Philistines. He begins acting like a madman, scratching on the doors of the gate, letting his saliva drip down to his beard. And then we see him running to a cave called Adullam. Now, wait a minute. A couple of chapters before, we read how victorious David was. Isn't this the same guy that defeated Goliath? Isn't this the same one who made so much bold declarations? David had faced the champion of Gath, who was Goliath. And look what 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 47 say. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, "When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David." Oh, I wish I would have been there to see this. It would have been better than any action movie that we have ever seen. It says that the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. And then look what David does. I don't know what you would have done if a giant was approaching you. But look what David does. He runs quickly. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out his stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But look at this part. There was no sword in the hand of David. You know, typically in a battle, you had somebody who was well-dressed. He was in full armor. And he had his sword. It's a little bit of what Ephesians chapter 6 described. Ephesians chapter 6 describes the armor of God. And notice it describes pieces of armor that is for our defense. And there's only one weapon that we're given as a believer. That weapon is the Word of God. And I asked our youth a couple of weeks ago, and I said, how well do you know your sword? Some of us, we might have too clean of a sword because you haven't fought any battles. But then there's some people that are around you that their sword is beat up. Their sword has blood on it. Their sword has so many scratches on it from all the battles that they fought. And David was so bold to face Goliath even though he did not have a sword. So then we see that David knew how he was going to face Goliath. And what does he do? He runs towards the giant. And you know what's amazing about this? That when you kill a giant, you become one too. When you kill a giant, you become one too. But there are moments where we don't know what to do. And it feels like giants are running after us. Rather than us running towards giants, we feel like giants are running towards us. Problems begin coming after us. Storms, problems, situations, afflictions, trouble begins coming our way. And what do? Sometimes, rather than facing the battle line, we run to a cave and we hide. David was now running from his enemies. But I'm here to tell you, church, that the Lord delivered David from all. Everybody say all. All of his troubles.
Hallelujah.
The Lord delivered him out of his desperate situation. He was desperate. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you're desperate? You don't know what you're going to do. David was desperate. And no matter what situation you are facing, church, God can deliver you. David wrote this psalm to give God thanks for delivering him from his troubles. But once again, it's interesting that the Bible tells us that David wrote Psalm 34, as beautiful as it is, after he pretended to be insane in front of King Achish. So he wrote Psalms 34 after he pretended to be insane in front of King Achish. And I wonder if David was in the cave of Adullam writing this beautiful chapter. And I'm here to tell you that I know that sometimes we face problems and we face storms in life, and sometimes we feel like we're going insane. Sometimes it feels like you're losing it. Sometimes it feels like you're losing control. And sometimes that's what God wants you to do, is lose control so that he can have control. And I know that sometimes we face struggles and battles in life, and we even probably question, can God deliver me from this one? And it's amazing that the storms that we face, some of those storms that we face, we provoke them. Some of the storms that we face in life, we brought them upon ourselves. But there's some storms that come our way that we don't expect. But let me tell you something, that if God brought you to it, he can bring you through it.
Hallelujah.
That if God brought you to it, he can bring you through it. And this is why the psalmist wrote in Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk, just think about that for a moment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, wherever you are at, whatever situation you are facing, just keep walking. We're not here to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. You got to keep walking, church. When storms are coming your way, just keep walking. Just keep moving forward. Just keep pushing. Why? Because it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So whatever it is that you're going through, church, just know that God is with you. And I know that sometimes it feels that God is not, but God is.
Come on, Pastor.
God is with us. Now, I want to bring your attention to Psalms 34. Let's look at that scripture. Psalms 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't say, I will bless the Lord sometimes.
Come on, Pastor.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
So I ask you this question. What's in your mouth?
Hello.
When you face storms in life, when you face troubles and battles, what comes out of your mouth? Curses or praises? What's in your mouth? It might not even be curses. It might just be negativity. It just might be fear. It might be doubt. And the psalmist said, I will continually, praise will continually be in my mouth. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. But you want to know something? That David wrote this psalm to remind himself. Sometimes you got to give yourself some reminders and say, you know what? No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to give God glory. David wrote this psalm to remind himself. Because praising God in times of trouble focuses your attention on God and not your problem.
Right.
See, when you're looking at your problem too long, you zero in on what you're facing. But when you begin to praise God and when you begin to worship God and your attention is shifted from your problem to God, now you see how big your God is.
Right.
And not how big your problem is. And then in verse 3, King David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Did you know that this was an invitation to other believers to lift high the greatness of God? This is why when we gather church here at church, when we gather to worship, we do it together. We sing together. We worship God together. We're here to magnify God. What does that mean? To make God great. God's already great, but we make him greater by giving him praise, by giving him glory. And the higher God is exalted, the more you realize that he is holy and that there is no one like him. I know that it's hard to worship when things are not going your way or when you're facing hard times. And even when it doesn't make sense, do it anyway.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Do it anyway.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because it confuses the enemy.
That's right, Pastor. Come on, preach it.
It confuses the enemy. Because the enemy knows you should be complaining. The enemy knows you should be feeling defeated.
Right.
The enemy knows you should be giving up any moment now. But when you turn it around and you begin worshiping God, even though things don't look good, even though you're troubled with so many things, do it anyway. Because worshiping God in the middle of your storm confuses the enemy. Some of you, that's what you need to do. Stop putting it on Facebook. Stop telling it to your friends. Stop complaining. Start telling God. Start worshiping God. Shift your attention to God.
I tell you this because
I've spent time alone with God. Not on the stage. Not in front of an audience. There's been times that I have faced personal battles. And I've woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, while my family is asleep, to just worship.
Come on. That's right.
And I'll tell you one thing. Every time I've done it, I have felt God's presence even closer.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Every time I've done it, I have felt God minister to me.
Yeah.
There's been moments where I have faced very tough battles. We have faced battles of the family, in our marriage. And those are the moments that rather than complaining, rather than giving up, rather than throwing in the towel, rather than just giving up,
hallelujah,
those are the moments that I said, let's turn it around.
Come on, right.
Let's begin worshiping.
Amen.
Let's begin praising. Because right, things begin to happen when we shift our focus and our attention on God. I remember many times just sitting at the piano and singing songs to God. Sometimes I would sing a little more in Spanish and just songs that would minister God, but also to minister me. And I remember many times just tears running down my face. And I have experienced the powerful presence of God over me.
Amen.
And I knew that God was delivering me from my troubles and my battles. So I'm here to tell you, church, that I know God as my deliverer. That what I'm preaching works. That what I'm preaching is real. That God can deliver you. That God can take you out of whatever situation you're facing. And I know many of you that are here today, you know the Lord as your deliverer because Jesus did the same for you. He delivered you from sin, from drugs, from alcohol, from depression, from suicide, from fear, from divorce, from strongholds, from addictions, from the world, and from some of you, even death. Because God is our deliverer. Can someone shout, God is my deliverer? You know, even the Apostle Paul said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. He said, yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And glory to God forever and ever. You see the shift? And glory to God, regardless of what you're facing. Glory to God. God is still to be praised. God is still to be magnified. God is still to be worshipped. But it says the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. Now, I want to just point out a few more scriptures. Verses 4, 6, 7, 17, and verse 19. In Psalms 34. As I bring this message to a close and I give you the application towards this message, David makes reference to being saved, rescued, about 5 times in this chapter. Just like David, there are 4 things that we need to do. You can find them in Psalms 34. Seek, cry out, fear God, and trust. 4 things that we need to do. Seek, cry out, fear God, trust. The first one, let's look at verse 4, 34 verse 4. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When was the last time you sought after God?
Come on, Pastor.
I'm talking about desperately pursuing him. Have you ever been late to work and you can't find your keys? And you don't have a spare? And your wife's not home and nobody is at home? And the bus stop is so far away, you're like, I'm not walking to the bus stop. And you're looking for those keys. How desperate are you? You're turning things over in that house, aren't you? You're making phone calls. Have you seen my keys? Where are my keys? You're going crazy. And then, let's take it a little bit Mexican. You start flipping over colchones. And you're looking for those keys. Well, let's be the same way. If there's some things we need to flip around in our life, let's flip them around. If there's some things that we need to move aside, let's move them aside. So that we can seek God. The second thing, cry out. Cry out to God. It's amazing that we can cry out to God and he hears our prayers. Look what the psalmist said in Psalms 34 verse 6. This poor man cried out. Now, look at that. Look at the reference David is saying about himself. Look what he's saying about himself. This poor man cried out. You know what he's basically saying? I have no resources to save myself. There has to come a point where you say, I can't do this on my own. There has to come a point where you say, you know what? I'm done trying. God, it's in your hands now. So we cry out to God and it says, and the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. You know, we don't know all of the troubles that he was facing. We just know some. You know, when people see you here at church, they might know some of the troubles that you're facing. But I'm here to tell you that God knows all the troubles you're facing. That God knows everything that you are going through. The third thing we do is we fear God. Now, I want to make it clear that there's a distinction in when it comes to fearing God. It's not talking about you being and trembling and afraid of God. No, when it talks about fear,
It's talking about being reverent, having a sense of awe and respect for the majesty of God. But there's another side of the fear of God. As sinful people, we have every reason to fear God's judgment. It's even biblical. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
That's right.
For those that are playing church, stop. For those that are 1 foot in the church and 1 foot out of the church, you do what you got to do on Sunday. You wear the tie, you raise up your hands, you do what you got to do. And then during the week, people don't know you as a Christian, stop. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the fourth thing, trust. Psalm 34, verse 19. Look at the assurance that David had. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Out of them all. Now, before we wrap this up, as we read Psalms 34, David gives us some imperatives. David gives us some very important things to not overlook and things that we cannot ignore. So I want to just fix your attention to verse 8. Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that if you have not tasted of God's goodness, I don't know what you're tasting.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Because we serve a good God.
That's right.
We serve an awesome God. We serve a good, good Father. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. And blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Verse 9 and 10. It says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him."
Amen.
Verse 11, it says, "Learn to have the fear of the Lord. Come, you children, listen to me." This is what David was saying. "I will teach you." That's giving the implication that there's something we need to learn.
Right.
"I will teach you." We need to learn the fear of the Lord. I remember my father, that was something that he would always say. "Es muy importante, Andrés, que tengas el temor de Dios en tu vida." It's important for you to have the fear of the Lord. Because when you're somewhere that nobody knows, and when you're somewhere that no one is watching, my dad would say, "Hay un ojo que te está viendo." There's an eye that is watching you. God is watching you. So we need to learn as a church to fear the Lord. To know that God is real despite of what this world says.
That's right, Pastor.
That God is a living God.
Yes.
That God still sits on His throne. Yes. That God is a holy God. That God is separated above every other God that has ever existed. And then it says in verse 12 and 14. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Don't we all know people that tell lies? Don't we all know people that speak evil? It said, do you want to live a long and prosperous life? It's sad that some people's life has been cut short because of things that have come out of their mouth. They've spoken evil. They've spoken lies. And guess what happens? What Proverbs says, they eat their fruit. It says that life and death is found in the tongue, and those that speak it have to eat their fruit. It says, then keep your tongue from speaking evil. If we're a church, if we're the saints of God, then we should not be speaking evil.
Come on, Pastor.
We should not be telling lies.
Hello.
And then it tells us to search for peace. En español se dice, busca la paz. Search for peace. If there's peace that you need to seek from somebody, search it. If there is forgiveness that you need to seek from somebody, let me just say this. You might not need to have a one-on-one conversation with them, if you could just release them from your heart, if you could just forgive them and say, you know what, I want no ill will towards them. That may the Lord bless them and let them move on, and they move on, let them live their life, and we continue. Then you search for peace and you let that go. And then it says, and work to maintain it. You know, in marriage, sometimes it's hard to search for peace. Sometimes it's a battle zone. You got dishes flying, you got words flying, there goes a remote, whoa, there goes this, there goes that, and it's a battle zone. Search for peace. Somebody got to throw in the surrender flag. It's like, man, search for peace and work to maintain it. And then it tells us in verse 18, I love this portion of scripture. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. We're all broken. We've all been broken. But some are more broken than others. Some have had a harder life than others. Some have had greater storms, greater problems. You know, there's something that I always remember, that if you think you have it bad, somebody has it worse.
Yes.
That's right.
And it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Are you broken? Let me tell you that God can put you back together.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And then he says that he rescues those whose spirits are crushed.
Amen.
And some of us, we've been crushed more than we should. But the Lord is close to us.
Amen.
He's close to the brokenhearted. David mentions a word throughout the Psalms 34, talking about the word righteous, and he's referring to in conduct and in character. And he's referring to righteous. He's being righteous. He's talking about being right before God. So if today you are not right with God, I stayed up all night to tell you, get right with God. If you're not right with God and you've been playing the church and you haven't been taking God serious, you haven't been taking the church serious, today's your day of salvation. Today you can give your life to Christ. Not just give it to Christ, but do what the Bible says. Two words, very simple. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. What does repent mean? Abandon your sin. It's time to abandon your sin. It's time to just let it go. Abandon your sin. Get your life right with God. Repent and believe that salvation is only found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. As the praise team comes, if you're needing prayer, we have a few more minutes. And we have a prayer team who is willing to pray for you. If there's something that you are needing prayer for, if you're just needing an encouragement, we want to ask you to come to the altar at this time. And altar team, Brother Andrew Vada, Brother Oscar, Brother John, and Brother Elmer, Sister Melanie, if you can help us pray for those that will be passing up. Whatever it is that you are facing, whatever storm you're facing, we're here to pray for you. We're here to remind you that God is your deliverer, that God can deliver you from whatever it is that you are facing. So come at this time, church, as we lift our hands and pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that we have been reminded, Lord, that you are our deliverer. That you can rescue us, Father, from any situation that we are facing. Lord, we want to stop running from our enemies. We want to stop running from the giants, the storms that are facing us. Lord, and help us to run to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you are our deliverer. For those that need salvation, Father, we pray that you convict their hearts, that they would repent and believe in you and grow up in their salvation, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, worship as we sing.